Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, this is Glenn the Geek from a very wet Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 24th, 2011, episode 84, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
And this is the point where I usually play music after Jamie says, good morning, Horse World. But I'm surprising Jamie because I told her I was going to be playing music, but first I want to introduce it because we have something a little different to start the show today. This is Alan actually posted it on his Facebook page, and I wanted to play it for everybody because it's just unbelievable. Everybody knows how Christina Aguilera just totally screwed up the Star-Spangled Banner at the beginning of the Super Bowl this year. Well, they should have gotten the Cactus Cuties to sing it. Now, keep in mind when you're listening to this, and this is a tissue alert there, Jamie.
In
mind that this is being sung by 6, 7, and 8 year olds, a group of 5 girls that are 6, 7, and 8 years old. And I think you'll appreciate it. Like 6, 7, 8 years old, there are 5 of them, and that was at a Texas Tech University basketball game, and it was posted on Facebook, the video, and we'll repost it on our page. It had 2,500 comments, and almost every one of them was, kick out Christina Aguilera and the pop stars and put these guys in the Super Bowl next year. So that was pretty much the comments of all 2,500 of them. I just had to do that because it was so cool. And I have something I need to ask you about, Jamie. Has nothing to do with horses. Has everything to do with Arizona. What is it with your wind and your wound? Oh, my gosh. It's a story from yesterday. You got bizarre wind out there. Do you get that kind of bizarre wind?
We do. You know, every once in a while, it'll just get so incredibly windy. I mean, and to the point where we have to cancel riding lessons. You can't ride your horse at all. I mean, you're like batting down the hatches. They have these things that are called haboobs. Do you know what a haboob is?
Boob? No.
Not boobs.
I have guesses, but...
not boobs, haboobs, which are like these huge windstorms, and they happen in the desert over in Iran, Iraq, Arabia, all those places in the Middle East. And it's just basically like this huge dust storm. It's in Hidalgo. Remember when the big haboob comes, this big wall of sand?
Yep.
Yes, that's a haboob. So we have those. I haven't seen one, but we do have just some amazing wind, and they come in these little, like, tornado-type things. And if you're driving, you know, through the West, you see them off in the distance. They're like little teeny tornadoes.
Yeah, like little dust devils. Dust devils, they're called.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, you also have microbursts, which you can find anywhere in the country, actually. But apparently in the desert, because it's so flat and everything, these microbursts do occur. And then microbursts have also been caused airplane crashes. But this was just a bizarre story I saw out of Arizona. And it's in Morena, Arizona. I don't know where that is. But what happened was, it was birthday party time, and the little company came out and set up one of those jumping castles, you know, the big balloon things where the kids get inside and they jump around, it's all blown up with air. Well,
that's awesome.
They decided, two kids were in this jumping castle, and it had been a little bit of a windy day, but nothing too bad. And apparently they're tied down, but they're rated to 25 miles an hour. This particular in Morena, and it did a lot of damage in the area, had a microburst of 160 miles an hour. While the two little kids were in the jumping castle, the big blow-up jumping castle, it let go of its moorings, went airborne. One of the kids fell out, I guess, after it got 10, 20 feet in the air. This thing flew 110 feet onto the neighbor's roof.
My God.
With one of the kids in it. So apparently the dad was there, saw all this happening. God, can you imagine your mom at work and you come home and dad says, what you do? So apparently he went run over, started climbing the lady's roof. The lady came out and saw this guy climbing on her roof and then saw the kid fell out of the jumping castle on the roof. And then it took off and blew away. So he had two hurt kids. They called 911. They took them both to the hospital, and apparently they had minor concussions and some bruises, and they're going to be okay. But, so can you imagine? Talk about Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz. Now, there'll be a new movie out soon about these two little kids and their jumping castle. That would never make you want to get in one of those things again.
Oh, my God. No. Well, that's just – I'm trying not to laugh because everybody's okay. Nobody got hurt. But can you imagine walking outside or being in a jumping castle that is flying through the air? I couldn't imagine. That'd be at least they were in a big inflatable jumping castle and not on something else like a trampoline or something. It wouldn't have absorbed any shock.
They said that after the girl fell out, it took off and it hit another house so hard that it definitely would have killed her.
Now that's not funny fun.
I know. It was just a bizarre story. But can you imagine the husband explaining to the wife when she gets home from work, dear, I'm calling you from the hospital because the jumping castle, they were in the jumping castle and it kind of went airborne. You know, try to explain that to your wife.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
It's probably his idea and the wife didn't want to have the jumping castle in the first place. So, anyway, that was my story. Let's find out from Jennifer what's on the show today.
On today's show, we've got the smart folks from Equus Now. They're going to be here to tell us a little bit about that company and a scrumptious recipe from Reese Kofler Stanfield. She's down there in Wellington hanging out at the dressage shows. And then the stunningly talented Robin Wiltshire, trainer of the stupendous Budweiser Clydesdales, will... the ones that you see in the commercials, he's going to be here and tell us all about training those Clydesdales and answer all those questions you ask during the Super Bowl, like, are those really Clydesdales or are they CGI? Find out.
Wow, cool.
Do you
think she gets the thesaurus out every morning to do those, by the way? It's fun.
I love it. Well, hey, do we have a Daily Winnie?
Yes, we do. We do have a Daily Winnie. Grant Gurr, who is out of New Zealand and had sent us an email after he listened to our OTTB, Off the Track Thoroughbred Rescue Show, and said that he had a rescue of his own. Well, he posted on our Facebook yesterday. Grant said, Foose the Rescue at his first in-hand show, and he posted a picture. Five classes entered, five ribbons, one first, and 4 seconds. So, good job, Grant. Terrific.
Now,
terrific.
That's awesome. But here's the deal, Grant. If you could make my skinny, off-the-track thoroughbred look like your big, warm, bloody-looking stallion, oh, my gosh. And he sent us pictures of the before and the after, and holy cow, before he looks like this, like, 17-hand, skin and bones, neck straight up in the air, and then you see the picture he posted on our Facebook, which is, I guess, about 6 months to a year later. Holy moly, come and take my thoroughbred, make him look like that. Woo! That horse is gorgeous.
Well, we hope that, apparently they feed him well down there in New Zealand, and we hope he's okay after the earthquakes and everything. And thanks, Grant, for posting that. We appreciate it.
Now, I have a big story. Does this fall under the Daily Whinny? I have a huge story. Huge, huge, huge.
You want another Daily Whinny?
Yeah, I do. Oh, this is going out to my girl, Zenyatta. Zenyatta was bred yesterday. Woohoo! Zenyatta was bred to Bernardini.
She had a party, huh?
She did. She did. Now, I found out about this from, Zenyatta herself, because she blogged about it. And I just wanted to, run through the blog just a little bit. Because she talks about it in her words. It says, "Good morning, everyone. The big day has arrived. Yesterday I had my mane pulled, hooves polished, so I'd look perfect for this moment. I rather suspected that it was getting close due to all the attention I was getting. The vets were here doing my morning checking me to be sure my system was ready. Charles, Mike, and Matt were at the barn helping me to learn some proper maiden mare etiquette so I would be totally prepared for this experience. Then about 7:30 this morning about 7:30, my limo arrived. A lovely Sally van was waiting outside the barn to take me to Darley. It's about a 10-minute ride from Lane's End, and so Matt, Charles, and Michael went along. I guess it was decided that Bernie and I would be the last couple in the Darling breeding shed for this morning's session. Well, we got rave reviews. It all went very well. In horse terms, it was one jump and a very good cover," that's in quotations, "meaning that everything went perfect for our first meeting. Per the guys from my crew, it was textbook Zenyatta. She was unbelievably professional, even for a maiden mare. It was nice and easy, and it went perfectly." So then she says, she posts a photo of her guy, Bernardini. This is on Zenyatta.com. And she says, "I must say, Bernie was also extremely professional and very focused on his job. We make a great couple." I love it. I love it. I love it. So that's on Zenyatta.com. She posts a picture of herself, like, all dolled up. And then she posts a picture of her husband.
There is so much I could do with this story that I'm just not going to.
You can't, because it's Zenyatta. However, you didn't let me talk about yesterday that Rachel Alexander was also bred this week, so that's a big deal, and I'm sure that, you probably talked about it Monday or Tuesday, but she was bred to Curlin. So that's going to be two horses of the year bred to each other, and it's going to be like the cutest baby ever because Curlin's awesome. So there you go. It's definitely breeding season in Kentucky.
Speaking of breeding, I wanted to tell you there was there's a little article in a paper in England that they have given some names, or there's some names that have been applied for through the Thoroughbred Registry that they have to decline. Apparently,
oh, no.
I get this. There are some trainers that try to get saucy names through for their horses. No.
No.
I can't believe that at all. Knowing the trainers, we know. Here's some of the ones that were declined. Passing Wind was declined. Anita Bass was declined.
Like Anita Bass?
Anita Bass, yep. It was, I don't know why they declined that one. That one's kind of fun. That's nothing too bad. Ivana Tinkle was declined. Hoof-Hearted was declined. Hoof-Hearted.
Hoof-Hearted?
Where?
Hoof-Hearted? You can hear them coming around, and coming around the corner, Hoof-Hearted.
Is that Hoof-Hearted is trailing Anita Bass.
I love that. Is that. That must be how they test the names. They get somebody to call a race using the name.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that won't work.
And Passing Wind is in the lead. Anita Bass coming up on the side. Hoof-Hearted is right behind him. Drew Peacock coming up on the wind. Oh, Passing Wind is in front of Anita Bass, but Hoof-Hearted is...
JV, you need to take the video from some race and insert those names into it and record that and put it up on YouTube. That's awesome.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Billy, oh, and Betty Swellex was coming up last. Betty Swellex was the last one up there.
That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. Well, I'm glad the Jockey Club is paying attention. But it reminds me of, you know, The Simpsons when he'd call Moe's Tavern, Bartwood, and he'd say, yes, I'm looking for Hug and Kiss, Amanda. I need Amanda Hug and Kiss. And then Moe would go, yeah, I need Amanda Hug and Kiss. I'm really looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. That was my favorite. So there
hey,
you go.
Hey, and I got another little story, too, that I wanted to share with everybody. Remember, didn't we have the mama of Einstein, the world's smallest horse? Remember, from up there in New Hampshire, I think it was. Didn't we have her on one day, Jennifer? I kind of remember that. But it was just announced yesterday in the Boston Herald that Einstein, the world's smallest horse, may be heading to Hollywood. Apparently, Einstein is currently being featured in a children's book, and now a movie deal could be in the works. And Einstein, by the way, currently weighs 6 pounds and is 20 inches tall. And they've had a few offers from movie studios and are considering their options. I bet they are.
Yeah, cash
how can
in,
we make
baby.
Money off of this little bugger?
That's cool. That's good. Oh, you guys are driving. I've got ankle biters right now. My puppies are biting my ankles while I'm trying to sit here to show. Oh, that's great.
And we have fun. I am so excited later in the show today to have the trainer of the Budweiser Clydesdale horses for the commercials. I watched some of his videos are online, and we'll put links to them in our show notes later. But some of his videos are online and of how he trained the horses to do what he did. And to be honest with you, and I don't know what you thought, I thought that there were parts of that, of those commercials, like the one with the snow falling, you know, where he bumps the tree and the snow all falls down and stuff. There were parts of those commercials that I thought were all CGI. We're all computer animated, but they weren't. And so that, you know, it's going to be interesting to find out from him. One, another question I have is it the same Clydesdales? Do they use the same Clydesdales for the parades as the commercials, or do they have a separate group? You know, I just have a lot of questions. I'm so excited to have him on. I think it's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome. I know you've got to be super excited. Plus, you love the Clydesdales, you love the big horses, and you love the driving, and you love the commercials. So this is, I'm going to let you take this one. That's awesome.
This
I'm so excited.
This is heaven for me today. Heaven. It's heaven.
I know.
But first, we have our first guest on the line here today who I want to take, who I've known for years and years and years. And let me see. Her name is Jennifer Hetzler. And she is the sales director for Equus Now. And I'll tell you why we're talking to her today. Equus Now is a retailer here in the United States. We're talking to her because we had a little contest when we were over at ADA, when Helena and Jamie and Jennifer and I were at the American Equestrian Trade Association show here a couple of weeks ago. We had a little contest for a store. One store that was attending the show could win some advertising with us, and Equus Now was the winner. So we asked Jennifer to come on and talk to us a little bit about Equus Now. Hi, Jennifer, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you again. Now, you, you're the sales director for Equus Now, which is a store out of Ohio, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the history of Equus Now, because it's kind of interesting. You guys started, I think, about the same time Jennifer and I started our store all way back when.
Oh, yeah. Well, it started in 1999. It was started by Rose Tremel. Rose had been a representative for Miller's. You remember Miller's way back when?
She started
the store in Elkhart, Indiana, believe it or not, with 300 pairs of closeout britches. Put them on eBay, turned them around, started EquusNow.com, and eventually moved to Constantine, Michigan, where she started the retail store out of her barn, believe it or not. And it just grew and grew and grew. And then about eight, nine years ago, we moved to Columbus, Ohio, to 6,300 square feet. And 3.5 years ago, we moved just about 800 feet away from where we were. And now we're 18,000 square feet.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That has to be one of the bigger tap shops in America.
I would think so. It's pretty big.
Wow. That sounds like a shopping palooza. When we go up there to Ohio to do our reining lesson with Sean Florida, we're going to have to stop by there, Jamie.
Oh, yeah, you guys have to. You have to. The store is definitely an experience in itself, and it's amazing. We have a great sale room in the back. We've got the warehouse. We've got the offices for the internet store. And then we have a mobile rig as well that we use and go to local shows. And it's quite an experience. It really is. And we're very proud of it.
Now, this is near Columbus, Ohio?
We're about 20 minutes south, north of Columbus. We're in Lewis Center, Ohio. We're north of Columbus.
Now, I was looking at your website, and the part that interests me, obviously you have everything that could possibly go with a horse, especially with all that space. However, you have a price, because when you go to buy something online, I know I do, I'm not tremendously loyal to any one website, and I hate to say that, but I always try to find the best price, because everybody sells the same stuff, and I'm always trying to find the best price. Now, what you have on your website is you will price match guarantee everything. You will match any competitor's advertised price for anything. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We will price match anything that somebody finds something and it's a legitimate price on another website and they give us the proof that, you know, there's that price. We will price match. We'll price match plus the shipping, whatever the shipping is. And it ends up being a very good match for the customer, and we will price match anything.
Yeah, this is like one-stop shopping. I mean, it's fun to shop for horse stuff online. So what you do is you go to all the different websites, and you look for the cheapest one, and then call you guys and buy it from you. I love that. That's such a great option. And I know that, you know, horse people, you know, I use the same exact pair of paddock boots every single year. My Ariat Front Zip Heritage paddock boots, I buy one pair a year because I just wear them out. And you've got them right here for sale on your website. So, what a great deal for people to just stop by Equus Now and purchase.
Well, yeah, and especially when you call the store, we give you such great customer service. We'll answer any questions anybody has, and that's what we really stress the strength and the growth of the store on is our customer service, our price match policy, and we just love it's just fun to work there. You walk into the store or you hear it on the phone, everybody's got a smile on their face, and that's just the way we are. It's like one big happy family.
Cool. See, Jamie, I'm just the opposite of you. I'm the customer service shopper. I'm the absolute reverse, because I would love to just pick it up and talk to the person I'm buying it from, but that doesn't always work. Not every store can have everything. So I was reading around the site this morning too, and wow, you've got great customer service procedures set up there. You can do saddle trade-ins. It's really kind of nice because you're big enough to have lots of stuff, but you're small enough to have really smart people to help out me, the touchy-feely shopper.
Oh, yeah. Everybody there who works there rides or has a horse,
and we all are very knowledgeable, specialized in certain products. Of course, you know, I take care of the custom stuff, and I help people with saddles. You know, my history, you, Glenn and Jen, you know me, my history with Bates. I help the people out with saddles, and we make sure that the person who leaves the store has had an excellent shopping experience. We don't want anybody leaving that store not thinking they had a good shopping experience.
And I want to point out, too, that you guys sell Kentucky Performance products, and you also sell Pfizer products, which are two of our sponsors here on Horses in the Morning. So awesome.
How about that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And, you know, as I said, it's a great place to work. And, you know, you can call us up at any given time. I mean, if you want to call the store in the next 45 minutes or so and ask them a lot of questions just to be on, you know, to be on the show, you'll get some great customer service.
I wanted to mention, too, that you guys are offering, for the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, you're offering go to equusnow.com and receive 10% off your order and a free Equusnow tote bag now through March 24th. And to qualify, you must enter the discount code HORSERADIO, that's all one word, capital letters, HORSERADIO, and you'll get 10% off your order and a tote bag.
That's
pretty
true.
Cool. We appreciate you doing that for our listeners.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely. And, you know, we appreciate you guys having us on your show, and that's a great thing that we're doing. That if you pay attention, I mean, if you go onto our website, you can check out that we do email blasts on a regular basis. People can call, can sign up for our email list and get a great email blast. Sometimes we have one that has a 25% off one item coupon. Sometimes we have something that's got free shipping. You know, it's something new and something exciting every other day. It's incredible. Rose has really done a great job with her internet marketing, and we've really made great use of the internet, and it spills over into the daily traffic into the store too. So she's done a great job.
Great. And that's equusnow.com, and you have to be up near Columbus. You can stop in to see their Mammoth store as well. And as I said, when we get up there to go see Sean Florida and to do our raining rides, we'll definitely stop in to see you.
Come and see us, yeah. And definitely for listeners who want to check out the store, they can go and check out our virtual tour that we have online too. And they can see pictures of the store and get to meet the staff, because we have staff bios on there too. So you get to meet everybody who's on the phone. So
all right,
cool.
Don't forget to put in Horse Radio capital letters in the discount code section to get your 10% off and your free tote.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're very excited.
All right, thanks, Jen. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. It's great talking to you guys, and you guys have a great show, and I look forward to hearing more from you.
All right, thanks, good. Bye-bye. All right,
Jen
from Equusnow.
It's a shame that the ladies over there, and I'm sure fellas at Equusnow, it's a real shame they're not more excited about their jobs.
I know. I know. And speaking about excited, it looks like we have a caller. We have Katie on who wants to, she has a question for our guest later on in the show. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Hello.
Good. So you have a question for Robin Wiltshire, the trainer of the Budweiser Clydesdales?
Yes, I'm super excited to hear this portion of the show, and I just want to thank you guys first for getting all these exciting people on, and, you know, you guys have such a wide breadth of topics you talk about, and it's really excited, you guys. You guys do a really great job, so thank you for that.
Well, it's kind of not even like a job, to be honest. It's just Jamie and I and Jennifer chatting in the morning about horse stuff. You know, and the fact that people actually listen and like it's a bonus.
Yeah. Don't give away our secrets, Glenn. Don't give away our secrets. This is really hard work, people. Hard.
Sweat and blood and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Sure.
Like those Akalteki.
Yeah. Well, the question I had for the trainer of the Clydesdales was, how long is the career of a Budweiser Clyde? And what what do they do or where do they go when they're retired, and how can I get my hands on one?
Okay, that's all good questions.
Good.
And no, it's more than one, but
I'm writing these down.
We will definitely ask those questions. Yeah, write those down. We can't forget that, and I would love to get my hands on one too, so that's a darn good question. And I'll make sure I push Katie out of the way to make sure I get there first.
Now, don't keep it a secret.
Yeah, maybe we'll take that question off the air, and then I'll decide whether Katie gets to hear the answer.
Aww.
I love
I'm going to call back, Glenn, if not. And I'm just going to pester you.
All right, great questions, Katie. We'll definitely ask those.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, thanks, Katie. They're good questions. And I never thought to ask how can I get my hands on one after they retire.
Well, yeah, that's a big feed bill.
Hey, Rick posted on our Facebook page, great show so far. I'm off tomorrow to a new event for me, the World Horseshoeing Classic, just south of Lexington. It starts tomorrow, Friday, with the shoeing of draft horses. On Saturday, they are shoeing roadsters and then hunters on Sunday. There are 16 teams of four farriers on each team competing. They must be serious because the entry fee is $1,000 per team, and first place pays $10,000. So
Woo!
Who knew?
You know what I did? Because I had a farrier who competed in stuff like this. I don't know if it was ever this big or anything, but I had a farrier that they would have to sit there and make shoes. I should call him this afternoon and see if he's doing that one. We'll talk to him about it because he loves doing those competitions. They love it.
Well, yeah, sounds like it's a big deal. So, yeah, definitely talk to him. It's fun to talk to somebody. And if you're one of those particular horse girls who think farriers are oh so hot, then this would be a good weekend to visit Lexington because you can just stare at 16 teams of four, 32, that's 64 farriers all bent over in one place. So,
wow. I'm going to tell you, Glenn,
I'd bring that up.
There's just something about the smell of hoof that does something to some women. They just go crazy. And I'm kidding you, my friend, my best friend, and my maid of honor in my wedding dated a farrier for like 7 years. And I don't know how she did it because he stunk like hoof all the time. And I guess she liked that. So whatever. Some girls just like that hoof smell.
Well, you know, and there was a page on Facebook, and I can't remember what it was now. Do you remember what the one was where they were posting hot farrier pictures? I'm looking for it now, and I can't find it. Somebody knows it posted on our page. There were pictures of hot farriers. That's what the page was all about. And it was they wanted pictures of them bent over, so it was just nothing but pictures of hot fairies bent over. And I can't find it right now, but I know we talked about it before. Good quality
entertainment. I don't remember
talking
about it. I would have never spent any time on that website ever.
I know. Your husband's up, isn't he?
No, he's in bed. he'd be like, "What are
it's
you looking at?"
Probably a good thing.
Yeah,
does he ever
probably.
Listen to the show? Does he listen at all?
No. No, not at all.
Probably good.
I'd love to say this. You know what he does do is when we come home at night, he reads the posts on Facebook from the show because he that's his kind of way of acting interested. He doesn't even have a Facebook account, but he'll sit down and go, "What was posted on Facebook today?" You know, trying to act interested, and he actually laughed out loud when you know, I talked yesterday about the necropsy that we did, and I had to, you know, get involved in it. And I'm trying to find the post that he thought was so funny. Down, I'm scrolling. Oh, thanks for the great show. The colic, this is Cheryl Figures. Thanks for the great show. The colic discussion was well needed. My marriage has been having issues on and off for a year. Very, very good information. And thanks, Jamie. When I was in college, I had a class on internal parasites right before lunch. I lost so much weight that semester. He thought that one was awesome. He said, "You have to write her back because that is so great." So he doesn't listen, but he does pay attention that way. And he laughed at you, Cheryl.
Well, we're kind of glad he doesn't listen in a way.
It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. This is like a whole separate life he doesn't need to know about sometimes.
Well, and I can't get away with anything because Jennifer's sitting right there listening, you know? So, you know, I'm
exactly stuck.
I can't get away with anything at all, you know?
Completely stuck. Well, hey,
I have to be careful which stories I tell about her now on the air.
I know. You could get in trouble. Well, our next guest is on the phone, but Glenn, I got to tell you about our sponsor for today. You can visit our friends at EZSignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom signs, styles, and options. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options. You see all the pricing up front. They've got vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, farm entrance signs like the one I have. They also have business, school, and church signs. Their website's great. You see all the pricing, which no other website actually lets you do that. You can go to EZSignsOnline.com. Check out their website today. They have a free shipping promotion going on this week for any order over $100. And another unique product they have are decorative vinyl wall graphics. You can place them on any smooth indoor wall, and you can put them in your rec room, tack room, bedroom, whatever you want to do, and there's tons of animals that they have as well. So check out their website today, EZSignsOnline, 1-800-640-8180. And our next guest is on the line, and you know, it's always interesting to find out what exactly Reese is going to have us cooking for this week, this month. But I want to know, Reese, first of all, good morning. How is Florida?
Good morning, guys. Florida is great. We are loving it. We're having a blast. We are in Micanopy, Florida, which is a really fun kind of artsy place. It's a really old part of Florida, and it's kind of halfway between Gainesville and Ocala. So we can go to Gainesville. We go to Gainesville if we want to do anything non-horsey, and then if we have horsey stuff, we go to Ocala. So we're loving it. And I don't know if we'll be friends if I tell you the weather. So
that's
what's going in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
Yeah, we're
Kentucky
expecting
right
3 to 4 inches of rain today, Reese. So, yeah.
Oh, super. I'm supposed to come home for a clinic, so I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm going to stay a few more weeks in Florida after this weekend. I'm going to stay for sure.
So have you been just training or competing, or what's the day in the life of Reese down near Ocala?
Well, we brought 8 horses with us, so which is great. It's a little less than we have at home. At home we have about 12 in full training. So 8 seems like a vacation. Christina, my assistant trainer's here, and one of my wonderful students, Anna Coley, is also here. So we're having a great time. It's enough work to keep us busy and out of trouble, but enough, you know, we still have some time to do some fun things.
So are you husband?
Now, did you leave your? Yeah, I was just going to say, did you leave your poor horse husband home to take care of the rest of the horses?
Well, I did, but he also is traveling a lot right now. So he actually is in Seattle right now doing some training. Glenn, you would love it. I have no idea what kind of computer thing he's training on this week, but he's doing a lot of traveling too. So it kind of worked out that he could do all his training early in the year and I could be here. But he does go home, and I do get some funny, cute questions about, well, I came out to see the horses, and it's nighttime. Do I need to give them hay? Yes, you need to give them hay if you go out there. They're not going to let you leave without giving them night check food. So, but he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And my whole team in Kentucky is great. Umberto Marina, all my guys up there. It's a real team effort when we have to come down. But it's great. I'm building a new indoor in Kentucky, so we'll see. We're enjoying the warm weather. We'll see what next year brings if we come down or not.
You're building an indoor? I'm so jealous.
I can't handle it anymore. I literally can't handle it anymore. So we are so excited about the indoor, and it is being manufactured right now. The winter finally broke me. I couldn't do it anymore. So I'm really excited about it. So everyone will have to come and check our website for the new pictures. We'll put some pics up when it's going up, and we're really excited. It should give us some fun ways to do some fun things at the farm.
Yeah. Reese, you're my new BBF.
I know. Jennifer, you're coming over anytime. You guys are welcome anytime to come ride. We'll definitely have a glass of wine and after,
people
for sure.
You met once in the seventh grade are going to become your new BBF.
I know. They're all going to be coming. It's going to be great. I'm so excited to have it and have people come over and enjoy it with us. And
yeah, I can't wait to see the pics. It's going to be great.
Will you allow our quarter horse in your indoor?
Absolutely.
No.
Are you kidding me? Travis, yes.
She hesitated.
Travis is going to want to start to ride.
I think that, Glenn, through osmosis, maybe he'll learn something about dressage. Who knows?
Well, you know, I may slide it in there. That may be a requirement to come to the barn. Glenn, you gotta do a little dressage, you know? No, it'll be fine.
Keep dreaming.
Oh, it's tough. Well, no, we're
excited. Well, I wanted to talk to you because you remember last month when you made your recipe, I actually made your recipe right afterwards. That night.
I was so proud.
Thank you.
I was so excited.
I did have to tell you that you made couscous and then wrapped that in chicken breast. So it was like chicken,
yes.
Couscous stuffed chicken. Well, I didn't have chicken breast. I just had chicken strips. I didn't know. I bought the wrong thing at the grocery store.
Did it work okay?
It did. Well, they were tiny.
They had to be really small. But that's okay. I'm so proud.
That's exciting. They were like couscous stuffed chicken balls.
Yeah, mini. Well, you know, you could use that for a party or something. I'm sure you can figure out a way to use that, for sure.
I will. But then I saw the title of your recipe tonight, and I might make it anyway, but I made my husband chicken curry last night. But this looks a lot better than the junk I made him from the jar.
I love it. Well, you know, this has got a little bit of a story. You know, here, since we're traveling, and it's the time of year that a lot of people are, you know, here in sunny Florida, because it's wonderful with the weather, you know, it creates some challenges. We have we have a wonderful farm, and I am so thankful we even have a little kitchen, but we have, like, kind of a kitchenette. And we knew when we were coming, we knew we would have a microwave and a full-size fridge. But I said to Christina, we're like, oh, goodness, you know, let's bring a crock pot because then we can make some warm meals. And we're not really close to anything. You know, to go out to dinner now, it's fun because we have to be organized and shower and be like real people and go out to dinner. But if we want to stay at the barn and eat here, we have, you know, use the crock pot. And let me tell you, we made lasagna 2 nights ago in the crock pot. It's not bad.
What?
So, yeah. Yes.
How do you do that? That's a whole nother recipe because I just got a crock pot when we got married, and I never used it for 6 months, and now I'm, like, trying to come up with stuff all the time for the crock pot. And lasagna in a crock pot, that's
great.
Ridiculous.
Yes. Well, that can be next month because it actually turned out quite well and loved it. And so that's kind of how this recipe, how I picked this recipe, because we made this recipe last week. And I was looking through my Real Simple magazine, and they had a crock pot section. And I tore out every single one of those recipes because I'm like, oh, my gosh, we have got to try these. So that's where this recipe came from and why I picked it for today. And, Jamie, I thought you can help me figure out a vegetarian. This would be very easy to make a vegetarian option. So you'll have to kind of help me at the end of it figure out a way to make it vegetarian. But the recipe that I picked out of the Real Simple, it's good. I have tested it myself a few weeks ago. It's curry chicken with ginger and yogurt. And it sounds a little sketch, but it's really good, I promise.
We love curry in this house. We eat it all the time.
Perfect. So it starts out with 3/4 of a cup of tomato paste, 4 garlic cloves chopped, 2 tablespoons of curry powder, 1 tablespoon fresh ginger grated, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 medium onion chopped, 2 boneless skinless chicken thighs, 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs, It's about 10 of them.
Four strips in Jamie's case.
Yeah, strips. I don't know about the strips. I can't. You may want to. We did the chicken thighs. kosher salt and black pepper. 1.5 cups of long grain white rice. 1/2 cup of plain whole milk Greek yogurt. 2 scallions thinly sliced. So I will tell you, here at the farm, we pretty much made all the spices. The ginger, the garlic, the cumin. We did all ground spices. I didn't get fresh ginger just because that was a kind of a whole other level of, you know. But we bought just the little, you know, the little containers so we can take them home, or if we use the recipe again, we won't have any more left. Or you can bring it with you if you're traveling. Really easy to get it at the local store. And
like ginger powder kind of thing?
Ginger powder. You can get fresh ground ginger powder. I'm sure it's better with the fresh ginger. But since we're traveling and anybody that's traveling here can use that. So it's really, really easy, actually. So in a 4-to-6-quart slow cooker, whisk together the tomato paste, garlic, curry powder, ginger, cumin, and 3/4 cup of water. And I did a little bit of, it wasn't boiling water, but it was warm water just to help me. I actually don't even have a whisk, so I used a fork, and it was just fine. And then you add the onions and stir to combine it. Then you place the chicken on top and season with 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And again, you can do that to taste. That's no problem. And then you cover it, you cook it until the chicken is tender on low for 7 to 8 hours. Or on high to 3 to 4 hours. So easy. Loved it. And it made the barn, it smelled so good in the barn. We were excited to eat dinner. Our vet even came, and we gave him some.
Really?
he happened to show up on that day. I don't know. He was a lucky guy. Dr. Emerson was here, and so we made him a to-go Indian, and he was so excited. But about 30 minutes before serving, you're going to cook the rice according to the package directions. And we made it even easier. You know, you can go to the store and buy those Minute Man pouches that you just stick in the microwave. That's what we did because we don't have
boiling bag, right?
We have a stove.
Yeah, the stuff that comes in a little plastic bag.
Yeah, not even the boil in the bag. It's even easier. You literally stick it in the microwave for 90 seconds.
Oh, that kind.
So
it's so
easy. Loved it. And you know, again, we don't have a stovetop, so. We're getting creative down here, for sure. And just before serving, you're going to add the yogurt and 1/2 teaspoon of salt to the chicken and stir to combine. The only thing I would say that's a little tricky about this recipe is what you want to do is take your yogurt and actually put some of the mixture into the yogurt. So, because if you put the yogurt in too cold, it will kind of curdle. So you want to make sure that you temper it. That's the only hard thing. And actually, I didn't do that, and I learned a really good lesson that has to happen.
okay.
And then you just, it's really easy. Just kind of, because if the yogurt's cold out of the fridge and you stick it in the warm crock pot, I'm sure there's some chemical reaction that's happening, and it's not good. So just kind of
so maybe, get, like, room temperature yogurt by the time you started. Like, have it sitting out on the counter kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. And then just put a little in it to warm it up, just a touch. And then you serve it over rice, and you sprinkle the scallions over top, and you look amazing. And it was so easy. Great. So that's it. That's the recipe.
That sounds awesome. Reese, my husband just walked up behind me, and I showed him the recipe because I got it on the screen now. And he's like, totally give me a thumbs up. Like, make that one.
So, tell them it's easy. And, you know, I was thinking you could probably add some lentils or something in place of the chicken to make this an all-vegetarian, and it would be really good as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jamie.
I'll tell you how to make it vegetarian is what I do, Reese, is for some reason, tofu is better like this, but I take tofu and the extra firm tofu bricks, and then I take them out of the container, and I press all the water out of them, use a bunch of paper towels and get all the water out. Then I freeze it, and then I thaw it, cut it up and cook it, and it's phenomenal that way. I think it's way too
perfect.
Mushy if you get tofu straight out of the container. I just, ugh, gross. It's like,
So I
do like this. And then you kind of fry it a little bit, like in just a little bit of olive oil, and just kind of like fry each of the edges in the cube. Stick that in the crock pot. And there you go.
Yeah,
you got your vegetarian right there.
Oh,
that sounds lovely, Jamie. When you you say tofu brick, it really it sounds appetizing.
I would definitely love to try it, but right now, like I said, you're into crock pot. That's what we got. We have made some meals, we've had some laughs, and you know, I'm getting really creative with the crock pot, like I said. You know, lasagna, and it actually was really good. And you could feed an army with it, literally.
Yeah, that's a big pile of that's the big crock pot size.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of lasagna. Yeah. It was incredible. We could have literally fed everyone here.
A note for folks at home who want to try this recipe, especially if you're not a kitchen expert, different crock pots cook at different temperatures.
Our big
crock pot that we make chili in, could do the recipe you have here exactly as you have it in our big crock pot. But if we were to downsize the recipe and put it in our small crock pot, we would also have to cut the cooking time by about 70% because that tiny crock pot cooks so much faster. So, folks, if you're going to downsize, keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind, exactly. In Christina's crock pot, it's very true. This one cooks hot and different, just like you said, differently than mine at home. So, go low and slow, and it really is good, and it just smells great. And it's just a fun way to, you know, if you are traveling or in a barn, you can make this happen. It's not that challenging to get it. You know, it's kind of fun to go to the store and get your things. Like I said, for us to go to the grocery store is sort of an adventure because it takes us like 30 minutes to our closest grocery store. So you have to be very organized.
Well, I did want to say that I just posted it on Facebook. I posted the curried chicken with ginger and yogurt, and now I have to also post the curried tofu brick with ginger and yogurt. I'll put that up there, too.
No, that would be
yummy.
Good. Yeah, I don't know about the tofu. I can't say the tofu is mine for sure, but Jamie, I'm excited to try it.
You want no part of my tofu recipe, Reese? Is that what you're saying? You want to distance yourself from that? Whatever.
Yeah. I did not say that. No, I can't wait to try it when I get home. I'm excited to try that process with tofu because I don't cook a lot with tofu because, you know, it's a mushy factor, and it's so good for you, and I would love to, you're going to have to email me that process, because I would really like to try it for sure, because it is a great option.
Yeah, that's the thing about tofu is I don't know where I learned how to do that, but you have got to squish the water out of it, freeze it, then thaw it. I don't know what what chemical thing happens.
This is just getting better, Jamie, just getting more appetizing as we go.
Keep it down, Mister. I'm going to go to the gym in the morning before the show to work out.
You have to squish the water out of it like a dish rag, is what you're saying.
You don't listen. We're trying to be healthy here, okay? We're trying to be healthy.
We're all athletes. We want to do that for sure.
Yes.
Oh goodness.
Did you hear that, Glenn?
Reese ain't eating the tofu kind. She's eating the chicken thigh kind. That's what Reese is eating.
I did the chicken one, and it was good. It was really good, really easy, and you know, lots of fun to make for sure. made the barn smell awesome. I mean, my assistant was. I'm on a mission to teach Christina how to cook down here, because she's like, well, I don't know how to cook, and I'm like, you can do this. It's easy, and she's like, I can do this. I'm like, yes, you can. So she's going to go home with a little binder full of recipes. I'm excited about that.
Reese, first of all, congratulations on being down in Florida and enjoying the weather. Congrats on, you know, an awesome recipe. I'm excited. And, oh, my gosh, congratulations. Amazing. You're getting an indoor arena. That's awesome.
I know. You guys, well, I can't wait to come. You guys can come and do a show from there. That would be so fun. I would love it.
We're broadcasting live from Reese's Indoor.
come. We are not in the rain or the snow. So, exactly. Exactly.
And we'll have all the smells of the crock pots going in the back as Reese is cooking for us her curried chicken with ginger and yogurt.
You got it.
I love it. Well, Reese, thank you so much for being on the show. We will talk to you again
next month.
Will you still be in Florida?
Depending on when we talk, I go home about the middle of March, and I'm hoping, you know, spring in Kentucky, there's nothing better. So I'm looking forward to coming home and seeing all the foals on the ground and getting ready for spring and all the racing and all the fun stuff that happens. So I don't know, but hopefully I'll be home, and that would be wonderful.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next month from somewhere.
Okay, have a good day. All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, this half hour is sponsored by, I guess it's not sponsored by anybody, to be honest with you. I'm just looking here at the show notes. And it looks
Yes, we do have an ad. Did you delete it?
No, actually, that's for the next half hour. So I was just looking at the show notes going, okay, well, we're just going to go right into our song today. I have a song for you today that's new to our show. It's called Heart in Your Hands by Marianne Kennedy. You can find all of her music at mariannekennedy.com. This is called Heart in Your Hands. And after this, we're going to be back to talk about Training by Budger Clydesdales for cool commercials.
Riding my horse one day, I had a flash and I heard him say, it's more than leather that you hold. When you take the reins, you know. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man. It's a desire to understand, and you can do it too if you put your heart in your hand. Walking my dog one day, in a busy mind, I was miles away. Those eyes were looking straight at me, waiting for some love to run through that leash. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man. put your heart in your hands.
That's heart and in your hands. From Marianne Kennedy, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning with Jamie Jennings and I and Glenn the Geek. We're happy to be with you, and we're glad you included us in your Thursday. We have our next guest coming up, and I'm so excited about this, Jamie. And, of course, today's show is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. I'm so excited. You know, Jamie, that I am a huge draft horse fan. That we used to own Percherons. We had some very large Percherons over the years. They're just the sweetest horses. We had the most fun with them, riding and driving them. You could just pretty much do anything you wanted to. And they learned so quickly. Percherons that we owned, Jennifer, I think we got the first one when he was 8 or 9 years old. Hadn't had much done with him. And Jennifer had him broken jumping within 30 days. He was just a quick learner, and that's the way we found the Percherons to be, so gentle and really trying to take care of you. Well, we have Robin Wiltshire on here, who is the trainer for the Budweiser Clydesdale commercials. Robin came here from Australia in 1980, and he has a lot of clients, actually, that he helps with their horses and training and things. And that's Wells Fargo, Anheuser-Busch, of course, Philip Morris, and a number of others. And we're just thrilled to have him on the show. Good morning, Robin, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning to you guys.
I'm so excited that you're here because, as you just heard, I'm a huge draft horse fan. We've owned them, we've played with them, we've ridden them, we love them. And I have so many questions for you to ask about this. But the first question I have is, how does somebody get the coolest job of training the Budweiser Clydesdale to do the commercials? How did you come about that?
Well, I tell you what, it was it happened overnight. And it started way back in the early 90s, and it just went.
Now, do you just do the training of the Clydesdales for the commercials, or do you work with them in general?
No, I just work with them on the commercials.
Okay, so just on the commercials. All right, cool. So how do you figure out, the first question I have is it the same Clydesdales that pull the hitches that end up doing the commercials, or are there two different batches?
Well, you know, a lot of the horses that do the commercials are on the hitches on the road, but, you know, they rotate them around through the year. So they spell them off. So I might get a horse that's been on the road last year, and he's been given 6 months off. And then I'll end up
okay.
with him for the commercial. It just depends on how many horses we need for what commercial we have to do at the time.
Well, I watched a couple of your videos that are online, and we'll post links to them, where it goes through you training them for the commercials. And I have to be honest with you, the particular commercial I'm thinking about is the one where the horse bumps into the tree and all the snow comes off. I thought that was CGI, and it wasn't.
Now, if you get to watch the little Clydesdales, and they're only 6 months old, rolling these snowballs out there, well, we started off with basketballs, and hiking them with their feet and having fun, and we had like seven of these little guys, you know, and little fillies, little geldings, and they got to really enjoy it. But the hardest part about it, they're born in Southern California and they'd never seen snow before. So when I got to Montrose at the fairgrounds, I had dump loads of snow bought from Telluride and dumped so these little horses could see the snow. And they were terrified of it.
And really?
And we've only got like 3 weeks to get this pulled together. And And then the basketballs began with foam on the outside to make them look like snow, and then on the day they put extra stuff around them, and off they went.
Wow.
And I noticed, and you know, if you remember that commercial, Jamie, that's the one where the bigger Clyde bumps his butt into the tree and all the snow falls on the little ones. Well, it was neat how you guys in the video showed how you desensitized them to the snow falling on them. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, and having the straw, having the guys on scaffolding and having the seven Clydesdales lined up and standing on a tarp under a scaffolding and having these guys pitchfork straw so they're simulating the snow falling on top of them. You know, and we had to do it in a lot of different ways so they weren't frightened, because when you're out doing a scene, you have to do it time and time again until the camera angles are right, the light's right. They have to just tweak things. So it's not a one-take deal.
Well, that, I was going to ask you that too, and that's a good. And the other thing, when you're even practicing, these horses are at liberty. That's the other thing. These horses are not on lead ropes at that point. They're just at liberty, and we're talking babies here. Is there tricks that you had to learn to do these particular things, or is this what we would be considering typical desensitization routines that you would do for other things as well?
No, you know, you could say yes and you could say no. It's a kind of a trick question there. You know, a lot of the stuff where you have the seven babies lined up, it's just so unordinary that you'd be training little horses at that age. You could see yourself doing 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. But these little guys were so willing to learn. I was just blown away with how willing, once they got into it, they enjoyed it.
Go ahead, Jane.
No, I'm on your website right now, and I just was flipping through the ads, and I'm sorry, the one with the donkey, the little mini donkey that drives around, how, is that you in that commercial, the one that's called Born a Donkey?
Yeah, no, well, I trained Lucille to do that, and the other Clydesdales to line up and greet her as she came into the door. When it first come alive, it was going to be a mule. And we finally decided to use a little Sicilian burro because we were having trouble making up their minds with the agency, which was which. So
right.
Time was running out, and I said, look, Lucille's right across the road from Grant's farm. It's owned by one of the Bush family. I said, look, let's go and get this little Sicilian burros out there. It's two of them, and we had Lucille and Beatrice.
Now, Glenn, do you remember this one? It's the one where
the little
donkey is training. They're lunging it, that he wears, like, little feathers, and he's pulling, like, a six-pack. And then at the end, he walks into the room full of Clydesdales, and hee-haw!
That was all shot for real. There's no CGI in that.
I just thought that, you know, a lot of this was CGI. I'm really impressed, and I'm really happy it isn't, to be honest with you. Was there something that in any of these commercials, you've been doing it for so long, was there one thing that was just, it was just almost impossible to train them to do, but you finally got it?
It's a lot of different things. You know what they do, Glenn? A lot of the time, we will train the animals to do the spot, and then they put a green screen behind and change the background. A commercial a few years ago where he's jumping a canyon. I had the Clydesdale jump a 4-foot fence at Liberty, and they put a green screen behind him and made him jump the canyon.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You have a Clydesdale. This is an adult Clydesdale.
Right.
Weighing in the 2,000-pound range, jumping a 4-foot fence. Did that register on the seismic scale when he landed?
We had two trained to do it, and you couldn't believe it. Once they, you know, it took a while to get 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, but then when he started doing 4 foot at Liberty, and he would go to his mark and then return and jump back. So, you know, it looked like a big jumbo jet flying in the air.
Are you training mostly through positive reinforcement, through treats, or, you know, I'm just curious about
how?
Oh, no, we're always training with, I give them treats all the time and patting. A lot of the time when I'm training the Clydesdales, I try to be the only one that feeds them morning and night when I'm graining them. So, and I let them know my voice and get them to know me only. And, you know, they really spark up, because when you're out in a set, you've got sometimes 100 different people out there and they're all talking at the same time and whistling and all that. But I want the horses to get to know me only.
Right. Do they come to you now, other than the babies, let's say, the six-month-old? I assume that these horses, because they're in the Clydesdale program here for Anheuser-Busch, I assume that they are very well handled and they have a good ground manners and things like that to begin with.
Oh, definitely, yes. They're raised and bred at Anheuser-Busch, and they're really they're groomed out from when they're young, so they're all holder broke and, you know, they've been manicured up all the way through and getting some of the girlings off the road there. And you get to know them over the years. Like you were saying earlier on, some of the Clydesdales have been with me for 8 years, you know, different ones that can do a lot of different tricks. Like, you know, Marty can go out and put his foot on the ball. He can pick pick things up like a stick and run with it and drop it. You know, you can do a high five and touch a dog, you know, shake hands.
Sure.
Yeah, what horse?
That's awesome.
That?
Yeah, right?
Now,
so
do you, we had a couple questions from a listener. Go ahead, Jamie. You have them there, right?
Yeah, I have them right here. And Katie from Kentucky Performance Products called in, and she wanted to know a couple questions. First, how long is their acting career?
Well, you know, their acting career could go up to they're 20 years old, but it just depends on how the horse is doing and how his needs are. Some of them retired at 18, some of them retired at 17, some make it to close to 20.
Okay. So then she wanted to know, it's a two-part question, where do they retire and how can she get one?
Well, you know, you just contact the Anheuser-Busch at Clydesdale Operations, and, you know, they have some retirees they let out, and you have to go through to find out how to get them, and if, you know, you can take care of them, of course.
Cool.
Wow, they really do? I didn't know that. Huh. Yeah. That's cool. Jennifer, give them a call today, please.
I'll get their number.
Yeah. She won't let you have a dog, but she'll let you have a Clydesdale. That sounds fair. Well, hey,
Robin, go ahead.
I was going to say, just in my experience, are Clydesdales easier or harder to train than other horses, than other breeds?
You know, I think, you know, the Clydesdales, the heavy horse breed is a gentle breed. You know, like I just heard Glenn talking earlier on about Percherons. You know, you get them all together with the Clydesdale Belgians and all of them, the Shires, they're just got a sweet disposition, the heavy horses. And in the Clydes, to me, are very special because I grew up with Clydes in Australia. So, you know, I've always been around Clydesdales. But I've worked a lot of, like, Belgians, Percherons, Shires.
Well, I know you're on a time limit here and you have to get back to work. It's been a thrill. I have 1,000 more questions. We'll have to have you back on again sometime. And I just, what a job. You have a great job. And congratulations on putting together probably the most entertaining commercials over the last 20 years, especially in the Super Bowl. And by the way, I was pissed there wasn't one this year. Just thought I'd let that out.
Well, I thought it was quite good with the Clydesdales running in the desert to deliver the beer. But thank you very much, guys, for having me on, and go grab some buds.
Okay, thanks a lot, Robin.
All right, tell you.
Well, that was fun. I didn't know you could there answer her question. You can get them, maybe. You have to call and ask. Who knew?
That's crazy. You call Anheuser-Busch and submit an application for adoption of a retired Clydesdale. That's so cool. But I know you were excited about that, and I know you probably didn't scratch the surface on all the questions that you wanted to ask. So hopefully we can have them on again. But give his website out, because I don't know what the name of it is, but I was looking through and watching all the commercials, and then you'll see, like, holy cow, how did they do that?
It's turtleranch.net. Turtle, like the slow-crawling animal, ranch.net. So that's where you'll find all the videos and the things about about what he does and what he puts together. And he doesn't, it appears, if you look at some of those commercials, he doesn't just do horses, but he's got cows in there and cattle and all different kinds of things. So it's not just horses. It's a whole variety of things. So there you go. That was Robin Wiltshire. Well, we are excited to bring you a special offer for Horse Radio Network listeners from one of our favorite companies, and that is Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. Jennifer and I have been listening to digital audiobooks since 2004 and have listened to over 100 books on Audible. We listen when we drive places. I listen when I'm walking, when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm sweeping the house or cleaning the house or your cleaning stalls. You can listen anytime because you can download it to over 500 different devices. Will accept audiobooks, most phones, your most MP3 players, your iPods, your Kindles, your iPads, whatever it is, you can download it right to your device and you can listen to books, and it's one of the best ways to do a book because a lot of them are actually read by the authors. Some are read by readers. Some readers are better than others. You're going to get to love readers, and I've actually selected books based on the readers because they are so good at bringing the books to life. And you can, they have, as I said, a special offer for Horse Radio Network listeners. Excuse me. And you just go to audibletrial.com/HRN, audibletrial.com/HRN. They're going to give you a free audiobook and a 14-day free trial for just being a listener of the Horse Radio Network. So that's audibletrial.com/HRN. Give it a try. We know you're going to love it, and they have over 85,000 books to choose from at audible.com. Well, wow, I feel like we've just been busy today.
And we certainly have been.
I'm looking through the notes here. I know there was another story I wanted to cover. Yeah, this one was out of, I think it was EquiSearch, that said for the past 3 years, animal health company Mariel has hosted gastroscopy events across the country. Is that how you say that? I'm going to go with gastroscopy. And the results constantly show stomach ulcers are a threat to horses. Well, we knew that. But from 2008 to 2010, veterinarians scoped 3,354 horses, and 58% of them were identified with some grade of stomach ulcer. Did you think it was
going
to be that high?
Well, I always thought that it was – I thought it would be potentially like their job, like depending on what kind of – you know, what kind of horse it is. Like, is it a racehorse? Is it a show horse? Is it a horse that travels a lot? I would think those would be higher. So I'd be interested, does it say anywhere what type of horses? Varying disciplines.
Yeah, it does, actually. They break it down. Yeah, 74%
well,
of racehorses. That's no surprise.
That's impressive. That's a known. But I certainly would think that, you know, the thoroughbred that we have, we treated for ulcers because he just seriously, you could just tell he was unhappy. His hair coat was bad. He was cranky. We treated him. He's happier again. I didn't do the gastroscopy, whatever they say. They didn't scope him, basically, to find it out. But the other horses of mine, I would think, and much like Beaker, what the heck do they have to stress him out? Not a dang thing.
Right.
Beaker's like, oh, my gosh, my hay is 5 minutes late. Oh, I got an ulcer now.
Yeah. Well, I did find it interesting. It does say here 74% of racehorses that were scoped had some form of ulcer, 60% of hunter jumpers, and 55% of dressage horses. So that seems to be the order. They didn't do eventers, apparently, and maybe they just don't have ulcers. And then, you know, there were various levels of the degree of the ulcer that they had, but, you know, any ulcer is not a good ulcer.
No.
So that was, I just found that an interesting study. It was kind of neat.
That's craziness. Well, I had another story for you, too, just because I got to keep you guys up to date on all the horse racing stuff that goes on, is our horse, our Derby favorite, Uncle Mo, is going to make his three-year-old debut at Gulfstream Park. So he is going, I mean, he's currently the Derby favorite, and he's not even ran in his three-year-old year. So he's going to do his first race on February, let's see, they announced on February 22nd that March 12th at Gulfstream, he's going to do the $100,000 Timely Rider Stakes. Remember we talked about last week, would they do the one that pays $100,000 that's a mile, or $350,000, that's a mile and a 16th, so the longer race made more money. Well, they decided to keep him in the shorter race, go for less money, which I think is a good option, and run him in that race. So we will keep you up to date. That's March 12th. Uncle Mo is making his three-year-old debut, and if he loses this race and he's the Derby favorite, how long do you think they'll knock him off that pedestal? How quick?
Well, I'm picking a new horse if he loses. I'm sorry.
I know, right?
That
wouldn't that be
true.
Crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has. I never recall a horse being a Derby favorite. I mean, he's been a Derby favorite for this year since last summer. So
yeah.
That's some big shoes to fill. But he's won every single race by like 100 links. So we shall see what happens. I'm kind of excited to watch it. I hope I can find some place to see it. I don't know if they'll have it on regular people TV. Doubt it.
Regular people
well,
TV.
And you guys are doing something fun later this morning, too. You and Jennifer and Helena and Kimberly Brown, who we had on the show yesterday, are getting together to record this week's Stable Scoop show, which is, Jennifer, what's the name of it?
Desperate Horsewives.
Desperate Horsewives episode, and we do that every year. And usually what we do is we do the Horse Husbands episode, where we all sit around and bitch and whine. We usually do that first, and then the Desperate Horsewives come on second so they can refute everything that we said about them. Well, this year we're reversing that, and we're actually doing the Horsewives first, and the Horse Husbands are coming second. So I'm kind of excited that we get to listen to your show, and then we get to we just get to pick it apart. So that, you know what usually happens, though, is the ladies end up spending about 5 minutes talking about their husbands, and then it's on to horses, and the rest of the show, the husbands aren't even mentioned, which, by the way, is the story of our lives.
Yeah, I guess we're supposed to complain and whine about our husbands and everything like that, and I just think that it'll be just us gabbing.
Yes.
Like, I painted my nails yesterday in honor of Jennifer because she painted her nails last week, and we're going to have to talk about nail color polish.
That's true. It's a big decision.
It is the Desperate Horsewives episode, after all. The Horsewives of the Horse Radio Network. We have a new series coming up. And boy, would that bore the hell out of most of the viewers, let me tell you.
Hey, now, just you.
I was wondering if I'd get a reaction to that. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. We have another great show planned, and Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up because I don't have that open right now. She's opening it right now. I don't know what's on. Just say there's something cool coming on.
There's cool stuff coming on tomorrow. Horse agility
tomorrow. Horse agility. That's right. It's kind of like dog agility with horses, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, cool. And the Chronicle going to be here as well?
Chronicle's going to be here with something cool.
All right, good. So we'll be back again tomorrow. And, you know, all the shows are coming out this week here on the Horse Radio Network. All of Chris's shows are starting to come out. And I know the Western show is out. So you can check them all out at horseradionetwork.com. Alan called me last night and said, I definitely have to fill in for you sometime, because what would be more entertaining than Jamie and I on the same show?
Nope. No. Like I said, I'm calling in sick that day. I'm sick that day.
I think the only way I'm going to get that to happen is if I just don't tell Jamie, and all of a sudden we do the pre-show and everything, and all of a sudden she gets on the air, and it's Alan and not me, and then she has to do it. So
that'd be a very dirty trick. That would be a very dirty trick. Well, hey, if you miss our live show, of course you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss any episodes. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern I'm sure we'll have plenty of stories about our Desperate Horsewives segment. So say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmet and ride safe.